What I'm going to be doing, and I want to be able to take some time that you will know, we're not going to have a Bible reading with this particular first five books, or first five chapter, four chapters of the book of Genesis, and that is because there's an awful lot to be broken in and talked about. We are going to be going through all of Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. What you want to do when you have any questions whatsoever about anything that's written in one of these four chapters, I want you to make sure you write that down as a question and send it on to me. And make sure your question doesn't have to be complicated questions. Just say, what does this refer to? And what does this mean? Do you understand this thing? And so on and so forth. Now, I'm not going to answer your question every single Sabbath, but I would like to know the questions that you have. You understand what I'm saying? Bring in your questions so that I can be able to answer. I'll be able to answer a lot more questions than you think. I have been studying these four chapters for 6 years, and I keep finding more and more. I learned an awful lot. I learned an awful lot of Hebrew. I've learned an awful lot of the meanings of words. And basically what we're going to find out, I hope to be too, I'll try to explain to you what the knowledge of good and evil is. I'll try to explain to you what the tree of life is. And I'll try to explain to you what her seed and his seed, what that means, what that's referring to. And I'm going to be talking in detail about an awful lot of things within what's called Bereshit. I want to get used to that word, Bereshit. We'll talk a little about that today, so you have a picture in your mind. Now, what I'm going to be doing, I'm going to expound the Hebrew. Now, the reason why I'm going to, maybe you say, yeah, okay, Richard, I've heard that, but I'm going to repeat it several times until we learn to look at it a little bit differently than we've ever looked at it before. Because what's happened, we had the book of Isaiah that says, in the beginning, God tells the end, or the concluding part, the finishing part. We won't go through that part today, but you'll have an understanding as we go along, because we will cover that, hopefully, next week. I'll go in more detail. We're going to go through word by word and explain what they basically mean, where you can find it in several places, so you have a picture, a complete picture, in different places in the Bible where that word is used, which we do in our own services and what we do on holy days, and what the words and who is referring to. All right? We're going to have a double picture here of a lot of different things. Am I making myself clear so far? Okay. First thing I walk into, and I'm going to, the first word for right now is, yes.
Are you trying to tell us we can't ask questions while you're talking?
Not today, because I don't have time.
Oh, okay.
But yes, next week, I mean, anytime you're here, but see, we're on rush, I've only got a few more minutes left.
Okay.
I'm going to have an introduction of what I'm going to be doing, all right? I'm not going to be able to finish this one today, because see, on this very first word, I got 11 pages of notes. On the very first word. And so you got a picture, there's going to be about 11 pages on the next one, and the next one, all the way until we finish the first sentence. All right? But to let you know a little bit, in the Hebrew writings, or I would say in what is written there, the very first sentence tells you something. How many words are in the first sentence?
Seven.
Now, what does seven tell you?
Completion.
All right. Now, we're going to go through the verbs as time goes by to find out whether this is an introductory of how he created or not. See, I'm going to tell you some things and show you some things from an awful lot of scholars, which I have done an awful lot of research on, to know what it means. Now, you don't have to accept what I'm saying. Don't have to believe what I'm saying, But I want to educate you on some of the very basic fundamental things of the Hebrew. Because without understanding the Hebrew language, we won't get a picture. All right? Do you understand what I'm saying so far? I said last week that God has a constant pattern. And the pattern is very easy to see once it's understood and seen. In Hebrew, biblical Hebrew, we're going to be addressing now, not the Hebrew of modern times. Biblical Hebrew always starts with the root word. The root word is always three letters. It's not four. Always three letters. Oops, I missed one. Sorry about that. What we're going to be going through today, just a brief one, because I got 15 more minutes left, is to let you know what that means. Now, in basic concept in English, Reshit means, just like we have it, it's called beginning. All right? So, beginning. It's real simple. I'll break that word down so we understand. Anytime you have a yod and a tav, it means it's a feminine word, singular. Singular, feminine word. Now, we have to keep something in mind as we go along in this study. In Hebrew, there is only feminine and masculine. There's no such thing as a non-existing thing that's in between. And we come to understand that when the Creator created things, He didn't create a third thing. He uses patterns of threes, yes. But in the Hebrew, the word's going to be either feminine or it's going to be masculine. It's not going to have something that's kind of like a mixture of the two. As we go along, we'll find out why it would sound like a very feminine word, though it's referring to a masculine thing. We'll find out as we go along. What I'm thinking about right now is the word Abba. It's a feminine word, refers to a masculine person. We won't go on that today because I'm not where I'm heading you for. All right, you understand so far? Just a little bit of breakdown. I'm going to introduce you an awful lot. You have to start thinking Hebraic words. Start thinking Hebraic language because, see, God started His creation using Hebrew words. Now remember, God created the language. Man didn't come up with the language. God came up with the language. He invented, like you say, or He designed it, He fashioned it. All right? So we know this much about Hebrew. It's the language that God has established to use with first. Right? Three letters. When we tear it apart, we find out in Scripture, and we have an idea, you know, and it's called Rosh. Well, what's Rosh? It's what?
Rosh Hashanah is what? Do you?
At the beginning, top.
See, we get a pattern here that okay, I want to be very careful with because we're going to be going through into the New Testament as well. Okay, but I want to hit you the words with so you understand this is not the word, that's not what this word, the three-letter word, means in Hebrew in the verb form. Don't think of it as like a head. Think of it like the head of the river. Ah, what's the head of the river?
Mouth.
It's the beginning, not the tail end. All right? I'll explain to you as we keep on going, not today, why it says He will crush your head, but you will crush His heel. One's a beginning and one's an end. All right? There's a reason why it's worded that way. So when you think of these, what letter is this one?
Resh.
Resh, Aleph, and Shin. Resh, Aleph, and Shin. Each one of those letters have a certain meaning. We're not going to go to there today. But I want you to know the word means to put something in motion. Hebrew words, three letters, put something in motion. Now, we turn it into noun form, we think, oh, head, you know. Head of every man, every woman is what? You know, the man, the head of every man is Christ. What is it talking about? What did Apostle Peter, Paul, refer to when he's using those words? He wasn't thinking Greek when he said those words. He was thinking Hebraic. All right? So we're going to be using those words as we come along. Before we get there, this is a what? What letter is this? What is Bet?
Ten.
I'm sorry, what?
In the
what? Okay.
House.
Bayit.
Huh?
Bayit is house.
Literally, it means inside of the house. Inside of the house. That's what that bet. Not just in the beginning, not just in, but inside of. That's why it's got an open door. See this open door? It's open. Now picture this door, or this house, I could use this terminology, where something is happening. Something is moving. Something is in the beginning. Something is starting to happen. Inside this house, something's taking place. What we don't know is what? Right? See, in Hebrew, unlike English, they start with the motion first. What is going on in that motion, and then who did it? Right? In English, we have to say, because we're a people, we think, in most languages on the face of the earth, except for Hebrew, has a tendency to go noun, predicate, and the object. We understand that in English. In Hebrew, it's the predicate, something's happening, who did it? Just the opposite way. It's not that we have to learn to think that way, we have to know why God did it that way. Because the first thing that God wants you to focus in on is what? Not himself, but he will. He wants to focus in on what's going on inside. Oh, something's moving. So when you first see something moving for the first time in Hebrew, you say, oh, what's going on? Now, if you stop and think about it yourself, you see something happening, and you look around and see something move or something did something, the next thing goes to your mind is, what happened? You know, and there is this other thing that comes out of it. What's the thing that came out of this? What's happening? What's the next Hebrew word?
Start.
Para. Oh! What's happening inside that little thing is creation is taking place. Something's being created. Do you understand what I'm saying so far? So you think on the Hebrew way of thinking, the first thing you think of, something is happening inside that house. What's happening? A creation is taking place. Oh. Who's in the house? Elohim. Elohim is doing something inside his house. And what is he doing? Well, don't go to the word et. What is the four, five, seven letters in Hebrew? Not well, letter words. Bereshit, Bara, Elohim, Et, Hashemayim, Va et Haaretz. Two things took place. All right? Two things took place. That's kind of important to keep that part in mind. Because as we go through this, we're going to find out, hopefully, why the second verse doesn't talk about the first thing God did. What was the first thing God did?
Created the heavens.
The heavens. So we're telling us something now. It's a perfect Hebrew sentence. Perfect Hebrew sentence. And since it's perfect, the verbs are past tense. So the first sentence tells you, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's not an introduction. It is not an introduction to the 7 days. It's a fact in Hebrew. Cold fact. Because I said before, what's, quote, missing in the 7 days of creation, or 6 days of creation? The what? What's missing?
Did they mention the first day?
The angels?
That's right. The angelic world, the spirit world, is not even talked about or mentioned. And we know from prophecy or from what's been written before that he already created them before he brought forth man upon the face of the earth. Right? We know that. But the Bible doesn't go through and explain in detail how he created. Listen carefully. Does not go into detail on how he created the heavens. Plus, it does not go in detail on how he created the earth. Does it? There's nothing there, right? No one tells you anything. There's no scientific information telling you an exact, precise deal. What did he start with? What did he start with? That's what he created. What did he start? How could he create heaven?
His word.
His what? His word. His word. We're going to get to the word. Very, very important to know something about his word. And I'm going to end my speech real quickly here now. The reason why you are alive and exist this moment, this second, this millisecond, is because word. And the word is spirit. The word is not flesh. I'll go into detail of that later on, next week. But I want you to explain to you something that God, the world has used this thing of constantly, that God created something out of, that's not true. God created something, what did he create? Either he created evolution out of nothing, or he created heaven and earth because of his existence. God didn't create something out of nothing. It says that with his word, things come about. So when he opened up his mouth and he said, let there be light, guess what took place? He didn't create light by some kind of osmosis. It came from that which always was. And to help you to explain the reason why we have this name, it says, he who was,
is,
and will be, or to come. That whole phrase is talking about not a history of God, but the existence. You don't believe me that he can stop anything he wants? Remember the book of Joshua? We sometimes in our world, we think, all right, God set something in motion, And then from there on, it just kind of does its job, right? It's not true. And we'll go through that in detail later. He can stop by his word something from ceasing to be. All he has to do is say it. Proof? Joshua's longest day. It wasn't Joshua. It was God's word. And guess what happened? Everything by his word stopped. The earth stopped. The moon stopped. The sun stopped. By his word. He didn't have to do any kind of scientific maneuvering. He didn't have to worry about whether or not the tides are going to come here and flash and crash and cause the whole earth into horrible turmoil. He just said, no, just go freeze. And he freezes it. And that's the end of it. By his word, and by his word only. See, God's not in time, is he? He is not. He creates time. He's a creator of time. And he can set, quote, time in reverse.
He's not bound to the laws of his creation.
He is the law of his creation. He is who he is. And therefore, he can either make something exist or not exist by his word and his word only. We'll go in more detail about the word Elohim later on. I got one more minute left. I hope that we can have an exciting time going through. I'll tell you, I'll be going very detailed in this word next week. I'll have an awful lot of verses for you to look at, awful lot of things for you to examine. You're going to find it interesting when we look at these three letters here, where it's used, and you'll find out, oh, I'll give you a hint. The firstborn. We'll get there next week.